This is Andrew Womack, and on our programs this week, we are going to be playing some of the teaching that I did when I was in Heidelberg, South Africa. I was in a little tiny place that only had 7,000 people in the whole town, and there were 1,500 people that came to the meetings. We were under a big tent, and we had some great miracles happen too. And not only did miracles happen during the time that I was there, but we had a lot of people come and give testimony about how the teaching had set them free. We had one couple that has seen over 700 people healed since they got hold of this. They aren't pastors, they were just lay people in the church, but they started teaching on healing, have seen over 700 healed. We've had testimonies of a little baby being raised from the dead, heart attacks being healed, some great things. Maybe we'll even play some of those during these programs. But this is my teaching. It was taped in Heidelberg, South Africa during July of 2009. I believe it'll bless you, so listen and be blessed. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 9, if any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You aren't born again if you don't have the Spirit of Christ. If you do, if you are born again, then whether you felt it or not, whether you've ever seen it or not, you have the Spirit of the living God living on the inside of you. You are brand new, created, righteous, and truly holy. You are one with the Lord, and the only problem is your head doesn't know it. Somebody say, if I had all that, I'd know it. No, you wouldn't. You can't see your spirit. You can't feel your spirit. You have to go to the Word of God. It's like a window. You know, right now they got all the flaps on this tent down. You can't see outside. You can't see if it's clear. You can't see if there's stars. You have to go look outside. It's like the Bible is a mirror, or it's a window that you can look through to see into the spirit realm. And you just see what it says, and you say, that's the way that it is. The things I'm describing to you from the Word of God, everything I'm saying, I've just nearly been quoting Scripture and just putting them together. All of these things the Scripture says, and much, much, much more. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as Jesus is, so are we, and it didn't say, so are we going to be in the sweet by and by. It said, so are we in this world. How do you understand a scripture like that? Somebody said, well, I'm acting holy just the way that Jesus did. Give me a break. Do you really claim that your actions are as holy as Jesus? Some of you right now, the way you're thinking about me is not holy. Jesus loves me more than you do. You do not study the Word. You do not know God. It is arrogance for you to say, I walk just like Jesus walked. You might be walking better than I walk. You might be walking better than you've ever walked. But for you to claim that you are always in your actions acting like Jesus is the height of arrogance. None of us are worthy to claim that we are doing everything exactly the way Jesus is. And you can't claim it in your soulish realm, in your mind, and in your emotions, because Jesus was not defeated and depressed, and he didn't have fear, and he never let what people thought about him hinder him. He was focused on God, and I guarantee you there's not a person in here that never blows it in those areas. For you to say that you are like Jesus in your physical body actions or in your soulish realm is absolute. Either you're deceived or you're trying to deceive us. It's untrue. But in the spirit, you are identical to Jesus. You have his mind. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16 says, we have the mind of Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says, you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That's not true with your little peanut brain. You can prove that by your last test. Some of you couldn't even find your glasses today and they were on top of your head. You can't find your car keys. Man, we don't know all things with this brain up here, but you know what? In the spirit, I have the mind of Christ, and everything that Jesus knows, I know it in my spirit. I have the mind of Christ. I have the same anointing that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, the same power. I've got that same power. And yet Christians are praying, oh God, just send us more power. Kenneth Copeland one time, I heard him say that he was praying and saying, oh God, I need more power in my meetings. I need your power. Oh God, send me more power. And he said, the Lord stopped him and said, Kenneth, where would I go to get any more power? I've already given you all power in heaven and in earth. It says in Matthew chapter 28, how do I give you more than all? And yet, how many of us, oh God, give me more power? There's many of us that ask for faith, and yet the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Your spirit already has the faith of the Son of God. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. You have the measure of faith, not a measure of faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I know that some of the translations say a measure of faith, but the good old King James Bible that Jesus spoke says that we have been given the measure of faith. That means that, you know, if we were serving soup or something, and if you came by here and if I had one measure, I had a ladle up here, and if I dipped it out, everybody would get the measure. But when you say a measure, maybe somebody would come by and I'd use a tablespoon for them, and then I'd use a teaspoon for the next person, and then I'd use a big ladle for the next person, and then I'd use an eyedropper for the next person. Everybody would get different amounts. And see, this is what people think, that, well, you just have more faith than I do. No, the Bible says every one of us was given the measure of faith. There's only one measure. And Paul said the measure he was using, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, but I live by the faith of the Son of God. So the measure that he was using was Jesus' faith. He had as much faith as Jesus has, and if there's only one measure, then you've got as much faith as Jesus had. Why are we praying, oh God, give me more faith? Because we don't believe what we already have. Philemon, or Philemon, I think as you say, chapter 1, verse 6 says, I pray that the communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Acknowledging. The word acknowledge isn't talking about getting. It's talking about acknowledging what you already have. Acknowledging what you already have causes your faith to start being effective. Turn the verse around and say it this way. If your faith is ineffective, if you've been praying for healing and you believe God can do it, but you haven't been seeing results, that's ineffective. And it's because you haven't acknowledged every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. You acknowledge who you are in Christ. You acknowledge that I have the same power that raised Christ from the dead, and your body will be well. That's what the Word says. That's what Paul told Philemon. Brothers and sisters, Satan has been destroying us for a lack of knowledge. Our whole religious system is about what we can do to get God to do something. It's exactly backwards. The truth is, God has already done it. When you got born again, He's already put in you everything you need. Now, it's not time to ask God to give you something more. You need to work out what He's already put in. You need to, first of all, find out what you have, and then your faith will start being effective, and you will start seeing blind eyes open and deaf ears open, and the lame walk and the dumb talk, and you'll see people raised from the dead, and you'll see joy and peace, and you'll start seeing the supernatural power of God operate once you acknowledge that it's there. But if you don't know that you have it, how can you release it? How can you get God to do something that He's already done? And that's what the church is doing.
God, heal me. And he says, by my stripes you were healed. Oh, I know that 1 Peter 2:24 says that, but oh God, heal me. How's God going to heal you if he's already healed you? If he's already put raising from the dead power on the inside, and he says, now you resist the devil and he'll flee. You resist cancer and it'll flee. If he's already said that and given you that authority, then how is he going to respond to your prayer of, oh God, heal me, I'm just waiting on you? You aren't waiting on God. God's waiting on you to believe and discover what you've already got. It's like you having a gold mine in your backyard and just waiting on God to dig it out of the ground. God put the gold there. Now go get it. Dig it out. Find what you've got. Well, I don't have the right equipment. Well, a spoon would get it if you just stuck at it long enough. Amen. You know what? The more you know from the Word of God, the better things will work. But if you don't know much, use what you've got. I saw the blind eyes open, deaf ears open. I saw miracle after miracle before I'd ever heard of Copeland and Hagen. I didn't even know that they were ministers. I was just reading the Bible and I didn't know what I was doing. But man, you know, a blind squirrel will get a nut every once in a while if he just keeps after. I just kept saying it. I just kept knowing that, man, I had power in me. It was in here somewhere and I spoke to everything. I spoke over all kinds of people. I spoke over dead people. They didn't get up, but I just kept speaking, and I've seen three people raised from the dead now. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew it was in here somewhere, and I just kept saying it and kept saying it and kept saying it and doing it, and I've learned, and you know what? I'm still learning. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know who I am, and I'm learning how to do it, and I'm seeing some awesome things happen.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the almost too good to be true news of the gospel. This teaching series was recorded at our 2009 South Africa Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a five-part album on CD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series RM238 when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The first CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request the first teaching when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to direct you towards our website because we have archived there over 2,000 of my television programs and many more thousands of my radio programs. You could actually watch the rest of this week's programs right there on your computer. These are free. And I also have my teachings, about 300 or 400 of my teachings available as free MP3 downloads. It's a great website. Plus, we have a guest book there where I try and read those comments on our guest book every single day. So I would encourage you to get it for your own edification and ministry, and also to let me know if God is using these programs and ministering to you.